B-Pod Studios.
Go talk to our friend from The Athletic, Zach Berman, will be joining us. A lot of football news to get to. We got the Jadeveon Clowney news out there. Rumors galore, having fun with that. And when you have the smartest GM alive, according to Zach's publication, The Athletic, well, you know, anything's possible. Regardless
of publication.
Yeah, you're a big athletic guy.
I love it. Yeah, it's great.
You're a big athletic guy. Reading the context of anyway. Yeah. Might want to give me the... Anyway, so...
I find it worth the money.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Zach coming up at 9 o'clock today. And then also, DeSean Jackson. I never would have expected him going to Auschwitz. I'd never in a million years would have been like, oh, he quotes Hitler. He's really apologetic about it. He's going to go to Auschwitz. Like, I never would have thought that in a million years.
This is made sound dumb, but is he allowed it in?
Right now, no.
Oh, so this is down the line. It's not before the season. Okay.
Yeah, no.
It's kind of the way it was framed in some of the headlines was like, it's going to happen soon. Like, yeah, prior to the season. I was like, what?
Don't we have to be allowed in the
Okay, that's what I was getting at. So it's going to be down the line.
Oh, yeah.
But the guy that invited him is 94. Mm-hmm.
Can't make it too far down the line.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Not to sound crude, but, like, might not have all the time in the world. Got to move quick, kind of.
This is going to go...
Yeah, that
my first thought was off the seat was like after the season.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to go anytime before that.
Yeah.
Because that would mean like tomorrow. He's gonna, but he can't.
Mm-hmm.
But the effort's there.
Yeah.
Like, in a million years, if we get that story a week ago, like last Monday, and we see that, is anyone here saying, well, you know what DeSean's going to do? He's going to be apologetic about it, and he's going to go to Auschwitz. He's going to talk to a Holocaust survivor. Like, are we predicting that?
No,
like that was out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was. It's impressive. He appears to be putting in work.
I give a lot of credit. If a guy wants to, I want to learn about more history. Obviously, I'm a history nerd. You guys know me, but like, I never in a million years would have expected DeSean Jackson to say, "Well, let me interview a Holocaust survivor." And by the way, I'm going to Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Like I talked to somebody. Ironically enough, I talked to somebody who was from Poland last night, and we were talking football, and I told him about DeSean Jackson. He hadn't even heard. The DeSean Jackson comments about when I mentioned Hitler, he was like, so he's like fired, right? And I was like, well, no. But it did come out today that he's going to go to Auschwitz as part of his education program.
I couldn't help but my mind go here, and I'm not justifying DeSean in any way, shape, or form. Uh-huh. Just so everybody hears correctly, okay. What he did was wrong, stupid, and borderline evil.
Throw in all the adjectives?
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
Why... does he have to go above and beyond? Like, I understand why he does, but why aren't others that do stupid things held to the same accountability? Because, like, the Patriots drafted a punter this year that basically had a more or less a Nazi far-right militant group tattooed on his forearm. And it was like, my bad, guys. I didn't understand what that tattoo was.
Uh-huh.
And it just went away. Now, obviously, a punter is not comparable to a DeSean Jackson in terms of famousness.
Right.
But... nothing? Like, he doesn't have to do any education?
I guess because...
he doesn't have to get the tattoo removed? Like, it seems very hypocritical to me.
Okay, one would be, the obvious would be fame. It would be the more of a...
yeah, that's definitely a factor.
More to draw to the name of DeSean Jackson. The other would be that it was very much out there, and it was on social media, the word Hitler.
Yeah, like, no, I get why he's doing that, but I don't get why others aren't held to the same accountability.
They absolutely should be, but a lot of it is just how quickly someone can identify that there's a clear-cut problem. You see the word Hitler, you see somebody repost it and redact Hitler's name, and then you know that it's DeSean, a guy that's been in the league for, what, 12 years?
Yeah.
He's the guy that is going to be the lightning rod more so than a punter for New England. I'm not saying it's right.
I know, but the guy's got basically a borderline Nazi group tattooed on his forearm.
Borderline.
Well, I don't want to define it as a Nazi group because I don't know it enough, but it's a, you know, extremely...
No one's debating Hitler.
Yes, you know what I mean? I hear you, but this is...
Although I learned last week you could, jeez.
By all accounts, whatever he has tattooed on his forearm is reprehensible and
awful.
I saw you
put that out there last week, and it is...
It's hypocritical.
Yeah. It is, you know, and did the kid come out with comments about it?
He said basically he didn't understand the magnitude of the tattoo. Mm-hmm. Because everybody gets tattoos of things they don't really understand, right?
Right.
So that was his excuse, which I don't buy for a second.
You know, I don't know. Having kids that do stupid things of that age, you know, like say he did it when he was 16, 17, whatever. didn't know. I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm just saying I could understand it a little. Yeah,
he should have to put in the work to understand and educate him.
Right. Let's put it this way. I will say, if you do give me a blanket statement that some player did something that he wasn't 100% educated on, I'm not, like, anyone that wants to say...
Well, Deshaun, that could fall into that same veil. He wasn't 100% educated on
it. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. But anyone that wanted to look at Deshaun Jackson and say, does he even know who Hitler... I'm pretty sure he knew who Hitler was, but at the same time, I bet you he couldn't give you, like, maybe 3-5 facts on Adolf Hitler. Like, when he said in his apology, he was a bad person, it was like, wow, that's the understatement of the millennium, right? But if you were to put out somebody without Deshaun's name on it, and just, this is what happened, and this is what was said, what would this person have to do to attempt to make it as close to right as possible? Not even right, but as close to right as possible. I'm like, well, obviously apologize, obviously go out there and educate himself, and, you know, maybe take a trip to Auschwitz so he really learns the horrors that man caused.
Yeah.
And then here he is doing it. I give him credit for it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So far, so good for Deshaun.
And if you're the Eagles, and you even put in your statement, it's still being evaluated, as they did in their first statement after everything broke, and then in their statement and their news dump on Friday, when they put it out there, if he wants to remain on the team, they need to see action. Well, there's not much of a bigger action you could do than actually going to Auschwitz. Now, again, when it actually happens, that's great. For it to be in the plans, that's awesome. For him to talk to Julian Edelman at the behest of Julian Edelman, that's great as well. So I'm just saying, if you're going to put out the story as we did all through last week, and we talked about it, we got to talk about the other side of it as well. And I think it's a great thing that is at least in the works. The second we get a handle on this whole COVID thing, I'm sure he'll be over there. So we'll talk about that when it actually happens.
Yeah, and you know what? He'll come out of it smarter about what Jewish people had to go through that he kind of didn't know he was speaking about than a lot of us who sat here and, you know, put him down for what he said. Mm-hmm. He'll come out of this a lot smarter than most of us, learning all that he's going to learn about what happened then. And, you know, that's good. And his comments that are in the paper today about, you know, I just want to bridge the gap between cultures. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you want. Does he deserve to be penalized for what he did? Absolutely. You know, I can understand arguments on both sides, whether he should stay or go. But he's doing all the right things now, and that's all we asked for, and that's all he's given.
All right, now, for the first hour of the show, more or less, we talked a lot about the 76ers and Ben Simmons now being moved to the 4 spot, with Shake Milton now being your starting point guard. As at least that's how Brett Brown has worked it out at practice. Well, Brett did address the media yesterday, where he talked about Ben moving to 4, and this is actually where we were talking about Ben's athleticism. Brett, believe it or not, thinks the way he was running things might have actually been more of a detriment to his skill set. Take a listen to this.
The last few days, I played him, you know, exclusively as a four-man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so dynamic, to your point. Like, let's just talk about running. There's nobody faster in the NBA. And so to always have Ben have to have the ball and dribble it up, you know, against 5 guys after made baskets especially... To do that, I think dilutes some of his potent weapon, speed. And so watching him fly up the floor, watching Joel and him play off each other has been a really good look. I think that they've been fantastic together.
Dilutes some of his skills? Watching Ben get a rebound and run it up the court? You just told me how fast he is. How does it dilute the skill? I mean, like, first off, if this was such an issue, how come we didn't know this 4 months ago?
I mean, you're always faster without the ball, right? So I guess maybe that's kind of what he's alluding
to. So what, you want him to beat the defense back and more or less, I don't know,
Have him on their heels.
Yeah.
But I still think in transition, he's going to be the one with the ball in his hands.
Well, I think so. I thought so, too.
But that's not what I say.
I know. Yeah. That makes me lean another way.
I'm losing my mind, guys!
No, it's okay, because you have another ball handler. Like, Josh Richardson can handle the ball.
Uh-huh.
Shake Milton can handle the ball. If you think you're better suited that, if the other team's going to cover Ben Simmons with a 4...
Mm-hmm.
And he gets out and run. Who the hell, what kind of 4 is going to be able to stop Ben Simmons out on a run without the ball? So now you're pushing, he's on a wing, he's flying to the basket. Well, there's your alley-oops, there's your pass on the wing, you know, secondary break, whatever it may be. They're looking to use him in a different way. I think what Brett, I don't know, I'm trying to figure it out too. I guess what he was talking about was when Ben brought the ball up, other teams got back and just faded on him. well, you can't fade on a guy running a wing. Like, you can't just stand back. He's already got
the if he loops at the baseline and pops back up again, it creates the defense.
And it's like if I'm on a break and I hit him on a wing, now he's not going to fade out to a three, which is the most popular thing to do. Remember the old days?
Yeah.
Stop at the foul line, look through your bounce pass. That doesn't happen anymore. But he's going to be that guy. So if I'm dribbling down and I throw it on the wing to Simmons, now your secondary break, like a Tobias Harris flying down the wing or Joel Embiid coming down on your secondary break, you have the best passer on the floor with the ball in his hands. You know, I think that's how Brett's looking at things of if he doesn't get all the way to the basket, now you can also get him the ball there and he can make different things happen. It's not as easy to collapse on him and try to stop him this, without the ball in his hands. When he doesn't have the ball in his hands, what are you stopping? He's on the fly. You can't stop him there.
Okay.
So I guess that's how Brett's looking. I'm not, look, I'm trying to decipher. You're looking at
the
me
word,
like
no. I'm because I understand what you're saying, and that makes more sense to me. I like what you said. I don't like the word exclusive, and I don't like the idea of quickness being a detriment on a break. Like that just sounds weird to me. Now the other part of it is what Joel Embiid had to say yesterday, and this was about the guy that is going to be, according to Brett Brown, with Ben exclusively at four, Shake Milton running the point, and Joel Embiid had nothing but glowing things to say about his new point guard.
He's been amazing. Like you said, he's been the starting point guard, and I think he has a huge opportunity to help us accomplish what we believe we can. He's been doing an amazing job, man, just running the team, and we're going to need him to knock down open shots, which he did. Before the league basically got shut down, he was on the ball, so we're going to need him to keep it going. Yeah, but it's been great.
So he's doing an amazing job running the point position. He was more or less combo at SMU, right? Ran point guard and then would run combo for the Sixers in his time playing here. I find it very odd that you have this change. And granted, as we said before, this is a make or break type of deal for Brett Brown. You're making this drastic a change to your starting five when you have eight games leading up to the NBA playoffs. So essentially you have one big tournament where you're playing for the final seeds here, the playoff seeding, and then you have the NBA playoffs. It seems it's drastic, as we've covered throughout the show already. Shake Milton is not only being asked to enter your starting five, he's being asked to, what it seems like, run a lot of your offense. And according to Joel Embiid, he's been amazing. I don't expect much else from a teammate when speaking about another teammate. Amazing, it might be an oversell. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. But when it actually comes to fruition, how does it all fit together is the question. And we won't know until we actually see them play. My bigger concern is that three people are affected in this starting five by this one move. You're taking Ben away from the point, putting him at four. You're bringing a guy who was predominantly off the bench for you all season long. He is now your starting point guard. And Tobias Harris, who we have seen play the three throughout the season and struggled at that spot, and he's been much better at the four, he's now being asked to play the three spot. I love the idea of moving Ben around, because I know he's an athlete. He can do just about anything on the court. He doesn't want to shoot, so that's an odd thing to say, play off the ball more. But to have him in this rotation, or not rotation, but to have him in this starting five, when you're moving the other two players, and by the way, Al Horford also coming off the bench, which he did a little bit before the break anyway.
Right.
It's just it feels like a big boulder you're throwing in the middle of a very calm pond. But here's what you do know. What you did have wasn't working.
No.
It wasn't coming to fruition, all the expectations you had going into this season. So maybe that drastic change is exactly what the Sixers need. It seems like a lot to change right before it starts to matter most.
Yep. You know, those last eight games that he started before the pandemic, Shake Milton, even without Ben Simmons in the lineup, they averaged eight more points a game than they had all season.
Mm.
Like, they averaged over 117 points a game when Shake Milton was in the starting lineup. Like, that's a significant difference.
But Tobias was playing the four during those lineups, right?
Yeah.
That's my biggest concern here.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Plus, defensively, now Tobias is covering a three.
Yeah, see, like, I think he's a borderline elite four, and I think he's an average three.
Yeah.
Because he's not quick enough to keep up with a lot of the threes in this league. That's my biggest concern with all of it, is Tobias not playing his natural position.
It's a weird thing. As much as I just want to focus on the one change of Ben moving to four, you're looking at the other two changes in the lineup.
Like, Tobias is a $180 million player. For them to have success, he needs to be at his best. That's like the biggest duh statement ever, but
yeah,
I think he thrives at the four and struggles at the three.
Yeah, so he's a guy that I want to see more of, and I think they were starting to tap into it a little bit, pick and rolls. Like,
absolutely.
Him.
He's a pick and roll player.
Now that you don't have Simmons with the ball in his hand, is that it? Like, do you get Tobias the ball and boom, there's Ben Simmons? Because I love to see Ben Simmons in pick and rolls. Now, granted, he can't run the fade pick and roll. He can't pop out for the jumper, but he might be the best pick setter on the team. He can pick, and man, if he's rolling to the basket, that's a pretty good look. Mm-hmm. I'll take my chances with him getting two running steps, going to a basket and throwing the ball up for him to go and get it.
All right. Coming up, we're going to let you hear a little more from Brett Brown on this, but as people continue to binge on Netflix, one of the most popular shows has been a revamp of an old show, Unsolved Mysteries, Bob. Now, were you an Unsolved? I know we talked about it.
I did like it. Yeah. I wasn't, you know, like I have to sit down and watch it every week. But
I remember it was. I think
watched
for us,
a lot of it.
Yeah, for us, it was on. I think after Rescue 911. I think that was the order in which they would go. William Shatner, Rescue 911.
Yeah,
and then Robert Stack, two fine hosts.
Yes,
right. Well, now it's a revamp. No Robert Stack, obviously. No, but when I say no Robert Stack, I mean no host. They just have the story being told.
A little weird.
I found it as a great tribute to Robert Stack. Like, if we
nobody's good enough to fill his shoes.
You can't have anybody be Robert Stack. But Jamie, you just watched the first episode, which revolves around an alleged murder in Baltimore.
Alleged, my ass. That was a murder.
Damn right it was a murder. But it's an unsolved mystery.
Yes, it is.
But the coroner did say, unknown cause of death.
Yes, undetermined. They weren't able to rule it suicide or homicide. I mean, I think we all know who did it after watching the episode. I don't want to ruin anything for anybody.
Sure, yeah.
I don't really get how this one's unsolved, but that's what makes it the show, Unsolved Mysteries.
Put it this way. I don't think we know who did it, but we at least knew where they worked.
Yes, exactly.
I'm intrigued.
How old do you think
William Shatner is?
How old is William Shatner? Oh, he's like 85.
I was
going to
say
like
85 came to my mind.
Yeah. 89, yeah.
He's 89?
Yeah.
He's 1 year younger than Gene Hackman?
He was one of those guys where, like, you know, 5 years ago you looked up and you're like, oh my God, he's over 80?
Yeah.
And now you've been on the wire. But yeah, 89.
Well, it looks like
he still gets around pretty well.
He looks like a young fella in those, what are the Expedia commercials? What does he do?
Yeah.
What is Expedia?
Yeah.
Travelocity?
One of those. Pops out of nowhere.
Yeah. Is that really his daughter? That's not really his daughter, is it?
No, isn't that Kelly Cuoco in those commercials with him?
Wait, Kelly Cuoco is in a commercial with him, but that's not. You know who Kelly Cuoco is.
She's the girl from the
Big Bang
that show everyone's watched but me?
Yeah, no, it's a horrible show.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
but yet
it was the number one show.
I've watched it a few times.
Are you into it?
Not into it, but I have watched it a few times.
You're a big Bazinga guy?
No, I mean, she prances around with like hardly
Bob's always
on.
Walking to the bathroom going, Bazinga! I'm like, Bob, you nerd.
You know, when we do talk basketball, and it's like, Shake Milton finds Ben Simmons, Bazinga, I'm like, Bob, we get it.
You like Big Bang
you
Theory.
Love Big Bang Theory.
Sheldon?
I don't know.
Sheldon.
I know the one guy from Roseanne.
I know that they were all making over $1 million an episode, like 1.5 or something. Yeah. Like,
how
pretty much
that?
The whole crew was.
And Blossom, she's in it, too.
Yeah, Blossom.
Yeah,
too.
Blossom.
Blossom!
Yeah.
The Joey Lawrence fella from Philadelphia.
Whoa. The kid that graduated from Temple's in it.
Yeah.
See the Indian actor?
Raj, actor, Raj, yeah.
Oh, I mean, come on, we just
went to Temple.
That's what we do.
Temple produces stars.
We crank out talent. Yeah. What we do here. So
I will definitely watch another Unsolved Mystery, though, to bring it back.
Well, here's the thing.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
Okay. How long is the episode? An hour?
40 minutes?
Yeah, 45
I'm
going to
check. I make you this promise. I will go watch episode number one today.
But I bring this up for a couple of reasons. One, because it's like people are always looking for something on Netflix anyway. But is this the future of TV for the foreseeable future? Where it's like docu-series, basically? Because think about it. Social distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you just basically...
You can work on these things from home.
You have a couple of people in the house that are running the cameras and the lights and all that, and then you just have the interview, and then you edit it, and then you're done. Like, don't get me wrong. That's the most simple way to put it, because it takes days and days and months and all that stuff. But is that like the future of television, where that's mostly what we're watching? Is
for the
like
foreseeable future, probably.
I mean, I need my soap back at some point.
Oh, do you still watch your stories, Bob?
Because it's all reruns now. So, no, I haven't watched, you know, my 3 o'clock day, General Hospital, no. But the weird thing is, the missus watches a soap opera at noon, Days of Our Lives.
Oh.
And you can't tell. They're still just, like, going. And unless these people taped, like, what, 6 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this is happening.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is very interesting. Mm. I don't understand it. And they're just kissing and stuff. And, oh, yeah, they're like right close to each other.
That's so, a sign of waiver? What goes on there with the story?
I don't know. And like I said, unless they taped like months ago, I am waiting for the day that it says like, you know, we're showing reruns.
All right. And then the other thing that might be the future of television is the game show idea where you can basically just be standing next to people you've probably been quarantined with anyway. The Floor is Lava, we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
I watched the first episode and stopped.
I watched a little bit of it, and I was like, okay, it has my attention.
It's not bad.
And then I watched a full episode last night with the missus, and I found myself actually enjoying it, acknowledging how dumb it was. It was basically like, I felt the same way as I did watching Eurovision. Like, I enjoyed it, but I acknowledged that it was dumb.
Those triplets really turned me off of the entire show, as Patty and I were talking about.
Oh, here he comes.
Now, did you watch, you played Floor is Lava as a kid, didn't you?
Yeah, we did it different, though. It wasn't Floor is Lava, it was the Aquaman theme, so it was water, and you couldn't fall in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That sounds less threatening.
Yeah, lava kills you. Water, but, you can survive, Bob. Yeah,
no, there was
kind of cowardly sharks.
You had different things in the water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Cooney household was like, hey, guys, it's just water.
But nobody's going to get hurt here.
No, everyone's fine.
We're very timid youngsters.
I will say, it's a really well-done show. Like, they actually make the floor look like lava.
And yeah, it is kind of cool.
You have the families compete. You have the friends and people compete and all that. And then, like, I don't know why I enjoy it. Like, I acknowledge through every second, I was like, my God, this is dumb. But I was in.
Yeah. I don't know how much I'll go back, but, you know, a couple episodes here or there.
I'll watch another episode, because in my idiot 10-year-old brain that I've never evolved past, I always look at it and go, ah.
Did you start looking at your living room? Like, how could I play right here?
No, there's no room. Like, like no one could parkour my living room, okay? Like, that's not happening. But, like, when I watch Floor is Lava, in my mind, I'm playing along to see how I would play.
Yeah.
Are you not doing the same thing?
Oh, no, totally.
Oh, see that? Yeah. See, we're just...
Don't go to the pyramid, you idiots.
Why is everyone going to the pyramid?
Yeah.
All right, Floor is Lava. It's a good family clean fun.
Yeah, it's a good family show.
It's a good family clean fun program. Sure. That and Unsolved Mysteries. Watch it with the kids. 610-632-0975.
I don't know how they didn't solve that first episode. Like, I understand what their holdups were because it went through a switchboard and everything, but...
Yeah.
I think they're going to, though, because...
Yeah, they will.
The employees had to sign a non-disclosure,
a
gag order, and you figured that was how many years ago, so there's some employees there that know what happened that aren't there anymore.
Well, that's the other part of it.
Where's the anonymous tip?
If they were solving mysteries in the 1980s with this show, then they're going to be able to solve mysteries in the 2020s with this show.
Wait, was this show in the 80s?
Or 90s, whatever it was. It was before the internet.
It was probably late 80s, early 90s.
It was before Reddit.
Right is about the Bulls were making their first three-peat, I would think. It was in its prime.
Why was Jordan out for all those years?
Apparently there are a lot of Reddit threads on this iteration of the series.
People
have a lot of theories with it. So I'm pretty confident some of these will get solved.
Well, when the one detective fella is talking about it, and he's like, oh, it's going to take, you know, the subpoenas and stuff to get these people to testify. I'm like, yeah, go get him.
Yeah, go get it. The guy's dead.
This was 20 years ago.
I was very distracted by that guy because I felt like he was from Philadelphia. And then I looked it up and he wasn't from Philly. And my whole life was a lie.
He looks like my friend's dad. I couldn't get it out.
He had a deep Philadelphia accent.
Okay.
And he's actually from Baltimore. So it threw me for a loop.
Oh, wow. Well, see,
that was the real mystery to me.
I've made this point before. The Delco accent and the Baltimore accent, highly confused.
Yeah, I spent the
murder to me
similar.
The murder was I couldn't even secondary. Care less. Yeah, it was secondary because all I could focus on was this guy's accent.
Yeah,
I needed to know what Delco high school he went to.
All right, when we come back, we'll set the table again on the Eagles and the next move they could be making. We cross our fingers. That it's the one that we're all thinking about right now. Time of the Fanatic is 7:23.
Can you feel it? The excitement and anticipation has been growing for weeks, and the time is almost here. That's right. Baseball is coming back next week. The teams will be taken to the field in less than 10 days, and there's no better place to get in on the action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To put you in the center of the action, DraftKings Sportsbook is celebrating the new season with a special promotion. Before the season starts, place a bet of at least $25 on who will be crowned champion, and they'll give you a $25 free bet to use on opening day. It's a no-brainer. While we are excited for baseball, don't forget there's European soccer happening all week long and a huge golf tournament that's sure to be thrilling with a big name returning to action. Hit on a little Inter Milan yesterday in Serie A League in Italy. Look at me. DraftKings Sportsbook is a U.S.-based application, making it a safe, secure, and reliable app. Plus, it's easy. You can deposit and withdraw your funds whenever you want. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code FANATIC when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code FANATIC to get your sign-up bonus up to a grand. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires a 25-time playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
For Unsolved Mysteries. That's the way you got to do it. Because if you have a host, people like me are going to be like, oh, well, he's just not Robert Stack.
Yeah, you can't replace a legend like that.
See that? And our friend Dan Schwartz tweets us that Robert Stack made a great guest appearance.
Forgot about that.
In basketball.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal appearance.
He's trying to find Coop. Coop was missing.
One eyewitness account has him hanging from in his bleeping closet. It's a great cameo.
It's a great movie.
I saw that movie in the theater.
Wait, Bob, let me just... Just curious.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever see basketball?
Sports
movie.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
Oh, that's a shame.
If I did, I didn't retain it the way you guys have.
Oh, you should have.
Oh, my God. I don't know how... What won Best Picture in 1998? 97? When did that movie come out?
It was Titanic won in 98, I believe.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, waste. Should have been basketball. If that went up against basketball, then it should have been basketball. That should have won Best Picture. In that whatever year it was, I don't care. There's never been a greater movie.
So describe the movie in all seriousness.
Describe the movie?
You laughed at it, but it was really dumb.
Nope.
Oh, it was a great movie?
Laughed my ass off at it. One of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's dumb.
And there are a bunch of unathletic dorks that basically start a driveway basketball game modeled after baseball, and sports shut down. I'm forgetting what happened, or it just takes off as a professional sports league. So these driveway schlubs become sports stars.
It becomes the hottest sport in America.
Yeah,
and it's like anybody, you don't even have to be an athlete, quote unquote. You can just decide to play, and you have a team in the league. Basically,
you basically just shoot baskets, and if you rebound it correctly, it could be like a double, and you could score a run. Or
it's basketball with no movement. Basically, you don't have to be fast or anything. You just have to be able to shoot a basketball. That's pretty much it. And you have to be able to psych out.
I'm down with that.
You know what? We should just have a basketball tournament here at the Fanatic. You know,
we should do that.
You could do that socially distanced.
Yeah, you could.
I think that. I'll do Robert Stack, and we'll look for you, Jamie. We'll
Sixers
do that.
Can bring one of their hoops over, and we can set it up in the parking lot here.
I'll tell you this. I'll just to ruin this one moment for basketball for you, Bob Cooney. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar makes an appearance.
Uh-huh.
And they're walking through this guy's personal memorabilia collection. And they have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 20,000th point basketball, whatever. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sneakers. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it's just Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sitting in a glass case, and he's just looking, he's staring you in the eye, and I'm like, what the, oh my God, that's awesome. Wow. Jack McCarthy in it, by the way.
Yeah.
Who? And Yasmeen Bleeth.
Yes.
Ah.
All-star lineup, if you had it. Bob Costas, Al Michaels, come on.
Wow. Kareem had a great acting career, didn't he?
He did.
That along with Airplane, are you kidding me?
Airplane, the Bruce Lee fella, he was
Didn't he do Conan the Barbarian, too?
No, you're thinking Will Chamberlain as Bambaataa.
Yes.
So there we go. There's a walk down movie lane. But nonetheless, Jadeveon Clowney. I want Jadeveon Clowney here. Okay, right?
Yes.
We're done. That's the end of the... That should be the end of the conversation.
One-year deal, minimal money? Yes.
Yeah, all right.
I'm in.
Done! Already done. Done and done. Put him on this defensive line, and as we said yesterday, it is a very simple thing. The quarterbacks, they don't even take the snap. They just surrender. They say, you know what? Oh, you got those guys on the line? I'm out. What am I going to do? Throw to Darius Slay? Cover my best receiver? No thank you. Not doing it. It's signed, sealed, delivered. But I still feel like there is this... Why are there people that just want to rain on everyone's parade? I don't get it. You have Jadeveon Clowney available. Rumor is he wants to come to a contender. Hello, Eagles. And the only reason you'd be against it is because he knocked Carson Wentz out of the playoffs? I was as offended as anyone. No, I'm with you, Bob. I think it's dumb to think anything other than I'd like to have Jadeveon Clowney, I think is ridiculous. And to hold against him the idea that he basically speared your quarterback, then that happened. I was upset as anybody about that.
Yeah.
That he literally took his helmet, hit the quarterback's helmet as he was going down, and there was nothing that happened after it. Nothing that happened. Oh, it was fine. After that, fine. No big deal. Not fine. No fine. But there was no punishment whatsoever. No. Nobody was penalized for it. And Carson Wentz had to leave the game because he had a concussion. I am not using that to judge Jadeveon Clowney and whether or not he can help my football team tomorrow win more football games. I can't believe that there is a small but loud minority of the fan base that actually holds that against Jadeveon Clowney and has that factor in the decision as to whether or not the Eagles should sign.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I put it out yesterday. I think Pat put out my quote from the show yesterday, and someone immediately was like, oh, the guy that speared Carson Wentz. And I know that's a little loud minority that holds it against Jadeveon Clowney to the point where they wouldn't want to have him on their football team. I think that's dumb.
That is dumb. And to take the dumbness further, if people think that it's going to affect Carson Wentz that he's on this team, should the Eagles sign him? I have no problem. I said this before. If I'm Carson Wentz, I am approaching him and just being like, yo, dude, what were you thinking? And see what if Clowney's response is, yeah, my fault, sorry. But if Clowney says, what, I don't think it was a dirty play.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have no problem being Carson Wentz and say, well, you're wrong, and that's that. Like,
now let's go
I don't have
Super
to
Bowl.
Be best friends with him, yeah. You know, or whatever. So that I don't think that's going to come into play at all. Knowing Carson Wentz probably will go over, Clowney will say, yeah, sorry, and then it's over with. But, mm-hmm. yeah, how could you not want that guy on this team? And I heard arguments yesterday also, a guy was... You know, he's so overrated. Like, he's great sometimes, he's not great other times. Yeah, other times he's not great because teams concentrate on making him not great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great thing in that, oh, Fletcher Cox isn't double-teamed anymore? Or, you know, you're taking the other team's focus away from somebody else on that defensive line?
Right.
By doing nothing, you're doing a great job.
I said it yesterday, I can't say it enough. That makes me salivate, thinking of that defensive line.
Yeah.
What could be. Like, I already think the Eagles' defensive line is probably their best unit overall on the team. And I don't even think it's close with anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, even their offensive line without Brandon Brooks, that's a big hit.
Rookie left tackle, yeah, so basically.
That defensive line, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox is the best. Madden proved it yesterday with his rating. Highest on the team. But back to the rumor, look, Our old pal Baldy, he was at the O-line Masterminds camp.
Yeah.
And if Brandon Brooks' injury had happened during non-quarantine times, I think it would have been a much bigger deal and a much bigger heartbreak for Eagles fans. Is there a chance that the big news might just be addressing that right guard?
Absolutely.
Because they don't, I mean, like, Matt Pryor?
So Matt Pryor has played 141 snaps for the Eagles, as a pro.
And I know that I've heard that they like him down there.
And two of those were in case of emergency, break glass.
Yeah.
We kicked this around on quick slants last week. When you have a guy like Matt Pryor, who is a 6th-round pick out of TCU, hey, here's a good omen. Let's start with a positive. Last time you had a TCU guy fill in for you on the offensive line.
They won a Super Bowl.
So there you go. Hollow pull of body body. Hey, thank you very much. But Matt Pryor came in, 141 snaps as a pro, two of which were in case of emergency moments, which they needed the emergency, mm-hmm. because the first one was Brandon Brooks couldn't play because he was having a bout with anxiety. That was against Seattle in the regular season. The next one was at the end of the season, the last game of the year, when Brandon Brooks hurt his shoulder, and Matt Pryor made the start in the playoffs against the Seahawks in the playoffs, where the same game that Carson Wentz got hurt. So it's like, if he could go in there and play okay in two moments that were, hey, get in there. Like, oh, my God, we got to play. And he did okay, and they had to make a lot of adjustments on the offensive line, including taking Andre Dillard off the right side of the line of scrimmage and putting him on the left. Like, that's a situation that made you a little timid.
Because the guy, Larry Warford, is still out there as a free agent, you know, played a couple years in Detroit and then most recently in New Orleans. I'd feel a little more comfortable if it was somebody like him than Matt Pryor. Would that completely just zap any enthusiasm you had if it ended up being a right guard signing and not Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah, because I feel like that's a bit of an oversell. Like, it's something the Eagles need, and he's good.
Yeah.
But it's not the big, it's not like sexy news.
But look who the oversell's coming from.
A former offensive lineman?
Yeah, and Lane Johnson chiming in, you know?
Yeah.
Two offensive linemen.
At the offensive line mastermind camp.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I think it stinks of Larry Warford, which I'm cool with, but it's no Jadeveon Clowney.
Wasn't Matt Pryor also at the working out with Lane?
Potentially.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was. I still don't think that's the sexy news.
I agree. To us, it's not. To the people that are relaying the message, it could be.
A right guard is sexy, right?
He knows his audience.
Yeah, but we need a right guard.
But I get that. Hey, no disrespect to the big sexies of the world, the offensive linemen. But I'm just saying, if you're putting out a story, big news, and you're teasing it like that.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's a big name attached to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just think people are going to be disappointed.
Larry Warford doesn't big name you at all. The third,
I'd be happy that they
addressed the issue. Yeah. Yes, I'm happy they addressed the issue.
Yes. Ecstatic is not something you attach to that.
I'm not putting big news, and I'm not putting sexy.
Mrs. Warford would be ecstatic.
She would most likely be happy.
Wait, you knew that?
Yeah,
off the top of your head.
Yeah.
You Google imaging, Bobby?
No stone left unturned.
That's what you do, Jamie, when you prepare for shows.
Please bring up Colleen Warford.
You did nothing but watch Shake Milton tape yesterday, break down some numbers, and then Google players' wives. That's what you do.
No, I didn't Google players' wives.
Did you follow her on Instagram, Bob?
Nope.
Bob, are you on Instagram?
Nope. Don't need to be. I'm good.
Okay.
I followed one of my kids on Twitter the other day, and I think I have to unfollow him. Because already in 2 days, he's kind of pissed me off. He had me blocked before. Like, I couldn't follow him before.
You allowed that?
What are you going to do?
It's better for both of them.
Yeah, it probably is. Yes. And I don't know why I thought of you, Jamie. Probably because you like my son. this one that I'm talking about.
Okay.
But, I think I need to not follow him anymore.
If my parents told me they were following me on Twitter, I'd be like, don't do that.
Yeah, it's
and
not.
I'm almost 40.
Yeah, he's not, though. Like, he's only 21. I kind of want to keep an eye on him, but
yeah, I hear you.
Not this way.
I recently discovered something, and this just happened. I think we were looking at pictures. And I found out that my dad follows my wife.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
But doesn't follow you?
But does not follow me.
Well, what does Eleanor do on Instagram?
This is my dad.
Wait, do you even post?
You said he follows her.
My wife. My dad.
So he follows your. Sorry, I thought you said he followed his wife.
No,
your mom.
My wife. No, he follows my
but
wife.
But do you post?
Oh, Joe, what's
I'm
up?
I'm trying to recall.
Instagram?
Yeah,
not a lot.
So maybe that's why he goes. Yeah, you're useless.
Oh, I doubt it.
Celeste will put up my granddaughter.
Probably.
Oh, that could be it. Yeah,
yeah.
That's probably it.
That or he hates you.
Like. I think it's that one.
Okay, so it's a combination of the two.
I hate strong word. I disappoint him, maybe. That's more the appropriate.
I still want to know, why doesn't Eleanor make you your stuffed peppers anymore?
I don't know.
It's a problem.
There's some deep-rooted issues here. You've asked for them.
Multiple times.
But hey, Mom, we're coming over for dinner. Any chance you can make the stuffed peppers? And she'll just say no,
right.
Or we'll see, and
we'll
then
see.
It never happens?
We'll see, and then it never happens.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
There's something there.
I wish I could tell you, Bob. I've been trying to...
I can see a tear forming in your left eye.
These are delicious. Like, I remember, this was one of my favorite meals all time. Like, if Mom was making the stuffed peppers over the mashed potatoes the way she would make them with this, some kind of red sauce kind of thing.
Okay.
It wasn't like a tomato
not
sauce.
Not a tomato paste or anything that was
It's nothing pasta
down.
Or anything like
no,
that.
No, okay.
But I say red sauce. I know that's what people are thinking of. But that's not what it was. It was it had a spice to it.
Yeah, because my sauce over over stuffed peppers is a wine infused kind of sauce, which is red,
mm-hmm.
But it's very much wine.
Yeah, no, I don't know how to describe it. It was delicious, and that's the thing. I'll never be able to make this because I'm not even sure what it was. I just know it was delicious.
I don't get it. I need an explanation.
All right, so this
I don't want to call out your mom, but I need an explanation.
This came up because former Sixer Rashawn Holmes, now with the Kings, broke quarantine essentially yesterday, broke the bubble. From what I understand, by three steps. Like, it was...
yeah.
It was apparently inadvertent at the NBA bubble, where he dialed up some Uber Eats, went out to get it, and they're like, you have broken the bubble! And, alarms went up. I don't know.
He may have been entrapped, but here's the tweets from Kelly Oubre.
Go for it.
To all my NBA bros, Postmates delivers to the hotel. This is 3 days ago. You just have to go out and meet the delivery person at the hotel entrance. Security will not hold the food for you or help you. Yeah, the food whack, but we here for a bigger purpose. Hope that helps. hashtag shh. And then the comments come out about the suspension. Kelly Oubre tweets, never mind, LOL.
So he's yeah, he got
be,
punked.
Yeah, he's going to be quarantined now for 10 days.
He's already two in, so he's got eight left.
Well, is he seven? Is he 3 days in now?
I guess
today might be third, seven.
Yeah. Yeah. Be seven, yeah. So his mom then tweets out, you know, the only thing that you leave the bubble for is mom's cooking, and I'm not in Orlando. So we just started the conversation. What is it that your mom would make or mom makes that you would break quarantine for? Like, what would draw you out of the bubble, essentially, from the NBA? I said my mom's meal that I always loved growing up was stuffed peppers. I probably have not had my mom's stuffed peppers since probably 2003.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's my favorite meal growing up that she would make.
Ted, I'm shocked. Yeah, well, knowing your mom the way I do and how much she loves you and what a loving person she is.
Oh, we thought she loved him, Bob. We thought she loved him.
Yeah, I bet you she's been to Red Lobster with your brother since then.
Oh, God, all the time.
Right? Tiger Bay biscuits, like, whoa. Oh.
I like the idea of Red Lobster just being like, hey, whatever we make, just dip it in butter. We're good to go.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, they're not wrong. But what was the go-to meal but you would make?
It was a chicken dish. I like I said, it was called Uncle Al's chicken dish, but my Al is actually my cousin, so there was no uncle in it. He was a married into the family Italian, and it was, I don't know exactly what it encompassed because, again, my mom hasn't cooked dinner for me in about 30 years, so I don't really remember, but it was, I do remember when you heard Uncle Al's chicken was coming up, it was a delight.
Okay.
My mom wasn't a great cook.
Well, you were having cold hot dogs for most of your life.
Well, that's what I had probably for lunch that day, either that or peanut butter wrapped in bologna. I told you that. That was one of our,
okay.
Let's not bring that up again.
And then you were on the fence about a pasta
There's a pasta dish with like a vodka blush sauce she makes with peas that I really love.
All right.
But if I had to, gun to the head, pick one, I'm going to go with Ma, the meatloaf.
Ma's meatloaf is pretty, okay.
I used to do the, I was picky as a kid. We were talking about my eating habits as a child.
Yeah.
You know, like in grade school and stuff. And I didn't like lunch meat back in the day, which is weird because I love it now. But I used to do a lot of meatloaf sandwiches. The cold meatloaf ketchup.
Yeah, that's not bad.
On a Kaiser roll. Clutch. That's a fine item.
Yeah. Love that. Absolutely love that. So, like, those are the meals that we would all break the bubble for.
Yeah.
And then because Rashawn Holmes' mom was like, you only come out of that bubble if I'm not cooking, baby.
Meatloaf gets a bad rap.
It does.
It's. Really? I think it's been poorly marketed. Nobody likes eating something called a loaf. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it doesn't present exactly beautifully.
No,
either.
It doesn't.
You know, when the first directions are shape it in the form of a brick.
It's basically like a giant meatball or close to.
Yeah. I did a grilled meatloaf last week.
Whoa.
It was pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I don't know how that work.
So I cooked it in the oven for a bit, but then you put it on the grill to mark it and all, and then that's when you put your barbecue sauce on top of it. It was really delicious.
Barbecue sauce.
Quite happy
I told
myself.
You my friend's hack about meatloaf?
What's
put
that?
A little string cheese in the middle.
That's a good idea.
I'll have one.
Oh, I was thinking of you last night because I made 90 meatballs yesterday.
You made 90?
Yeah, because, you know, getting ready for the shore.
You had made 90 meatballs. I won't have one.
I know. I swear. I was going to put some in a bag. I was going to put some in a bag, but Mark turned me off to it.
I eat other people's meatballs, Bob.
Yeah, yes, you do.
Feel free to indulge everyone else, and I'm good. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We come back. We'll jump more into the Ben Simmons conversation. It started up by the head coach of the 76ers, Brett Brown, making a drastic change. Drastic change. Really, Bob, you think about it, changes.
Yeah.
It's not just Ben. This is a whole domino effect.
Nah, just 60% of the starting lineup, that's all.
We'll get into that conversation, and then Jamie referenced it earlier, and they're doing something new now with the Madden ratings. At least I think this is new. I never knew they did this. But Patrick Mahomes was given an award yesterday. We'll talk about that because of it. And then we'll also go through a couple of the ratings that the Eagles were given over this, including the one guy that a lot of people enjoy comparing Carson Wentz, too, that he really shouldn't be compared to anymore. 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic, 751.
Fanatic. 97.5, the Fanatic.
Before we get back into the 76ers conversation, anytime, Bob, anytime a head coach in this city says that we're going to go get a championship, it needs to be talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Alain Vigneault.
I believe him.
Alain Vigneault comes out yesterday during their, first installment of actual training camp?
Yep.
And he's addressing the media. And he says, and I'm getting this by my buddy Jordan Hall of NBC Sports Philadelphia, Alain Vigneault said the Flyers are focused and energized, said the team has an opportunity at the Stanley Cup, and said, quote, we're going to go get it, end quote.
I love that, man.
Inject that into my veins. I love that. I'll eat that up every single day. Somebody wants to be, here's the thing. Alain Vigneault's not afraid of anything. That's what I love about the guy. There's no fear in what he says. There's no, timidness. There's
you see
no
that jawline? He's got nothing to be afraid of.
I do now because he shaved the beard. He had a little beard going during quarantine. Not so much anymore, man. He's getting after it. But no, he comes out there, man. If he believes something, he says it. Well, he's not a guy that he has something to say. He's like, let me just take a spoonful of sugar and just coat that real quick with that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.